On Mondays, we read from your letters. Several listeners wrote in during our show on American Nomads asking for advice on how to chuck it all and pick up the traveling life, and Reed Kirk wrote in with a time-honored suggestion. When I was 20, he wrote, I ran away with the circus as a clown. I traveled with a small circus all over the East and Midwest for 7 months. Small and mid-sized shows always need help, from roustabouts to vendors to acts. I'd recommend trying to get in on the administrative side, he says. Being a roustabout sometimes puts you in, colorful company. Francis Richardson had a different question about the nomadic life. I have been amazed that all these nomads have been tuned into your show today. Even someone camping in the mountains. What gives? Well, we can only note that the intermittent employment favored by many nomads allows them the freedom to tune in to midday radio programs. And we received a fax following our segment on the 1967 attack on the USS Liberty by Israeli forces. The State Department held a conference on this incident and the still unresolved questions over how and why it happened. Washington Post journalist Ken Ringel joined us then to review various theories, including the possibility that the attack was intentional. Historian Jay Crystal has been working on this story for over a decade. His fax expressed concern that our coverage did not give adequate attention to research indicating that the attack was an accident. Crystal published a book based on more than 500 interviews and 6,000 documents. It's called The Liberty Incident, the 1967 Israeli attack on the U.S. Navy spy ship. And finally, during our segment on the history of the smile, we failed to address a fundamental question, and Beryl from Minneapolis wrote in to remind us of it. Which takes more effort, she asks, the smile or a normal facial appearance? I've heard that the smile takes less effort. Is that true or false? Well, given the import of this question, we've invited Angus Trumbull to join us again. He's the author of A Brief History of the Smile. Good of you to join us again.
Thank you, Neil.
So what's the story?
Well, the answer to that is it depends on how, on what kind of smile and what kind of frown. Many of us use the same muscles in our face that are all controlled by cranial nerve number 7, a crucial part of the smiling and frowning mechanism, controls all the muscles of the face, to do both. So if one is wearing a simple, faint smile, simply upturned corners of the mouth, the answer would be certainly frowning takes more effort. However, if we screw our face into a very energetic smile that involves the contraction of many muscles, then it's probably likely to take more effort than knitting our brows simply in a simple frown.
And while we have you here, let me ask you about another email we received, this from Anton. He writes, I have studied fencing and the history of the sword and have discovered that a smile was often the cause of a duel. From the 16th to the 19th century, a smile that was misunderstood was seen as a slight and an insult. One learned to keep one smiled amongst close friends. So, death by smiling, have you ever heard about that?
Certainly, there are reports of deaths by smiling in strange contests known as gurning in the north of England in the early 19th century. But yes, I think that your correspondent is quite right. I think the potential for misinterpretation, for a smile to be taken as a provocation and not simply a beacon of goodwill, I think has always been in history present. And in fact, some behavioral scientists tell us that the animal origins of smiling that we trace to the primates and in evolution has more to do with, in fact, confrontation and tooth-bearing expressions of rage than with goodwill.
So to put it in the saloon context, a smile when you say that, Angus.
Exactly.
Thanks very much.
Thank you so much, Neil.
Angus Trumbull is the author of A Brief History of the Smile, and he joined us by phone.
Keep on smiling.
If you have questions, comments, or corrections for us, drop us a line at totn@npr.org. Please be sure to include the topic of the show in the subject line. Tell us where you're writing from. If necessary, give us some guidance on how to pronounce your name. Talk of the Nation is produced by Susan Lund, Setsuko Sato, Justine Kennan, Megan Williams, and Brendan Banizak. Chad Campbell directs our program, always with a smile. Joel Riddle is our production assistant, and Dustin Dwyer is our new TOTN intern. Our technical director is Kevin Waite. Audio engineers include Vince Muse, Michael Cullen, Suzanne Herron, Cal Southworth, and Mitch Eaton. Ellen Silva is our senior editor. Sue Goodwin is our senior producer. And the executive producer of Talk of the Nation is Leith Bishop. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.